Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to the show. This is Catholic Answers Live, TGIM, setting up for Holy Week 40 days in advance. The day after tomorrow, of course, is Ash Wednesday. We're going to talk about the Holy Season of Lent with Scott Richard. He is a columnist for Chronicles and the leader over there at about.com in the Catholicism section. He's been on the show many times, and he's got tons and tons of Lent-related history factoids and some practical suggestions for us as followers of Jesus, as Catholics, to grow closer to him in the season for Lent, of Lent, leading up to the celebration of the whole point of it all, which is the joy of Easter. That's the second hour today with Scott Richard on Catholic Answers Live. 888-318-7884 is the toll-free phone number. We turn now to a very important topic, and that is raising sons. What happened to the standard of masculine leadership? What happened to the collective understanding of what a real man was? What are we turning our sons into? How do we reach boys with manly identity in childhood rather than waiting for our culture to do the job? Well, joining us to talk about raising sons is a man who is a father of sons, Steve Ray, the founder of... Steve Ray, are you still there?
Yes.
I'm going to say founder of. Is that the correct terminology for CatholicConvert.com?
Yeah, CatholicConvert.com. As soon as I became a Catholic, I started it. So I founded it, and Footprints of God Pilgrimages, and St. Joseph Productions, too. We make movies, so kind of a lot of stuff.
CatholicConvert.com, you're a former Protestant. I want to mention the three books that I know people ask me about and to whom I send: St. John's Gospel, Upon This Rock, and Christ in the Tiber. Now, I noticed that you have a new film coming out on Abraham, which was a long time coming, Steve. It took a lot of TLC and hard work to get it to market. Tell us about
it. We did. We finished the seven series. We had Moses and David and Mary and Peter and Paul and apostolic fathers. We had seven of them. We have projected to have 10 finished soon. And after 8 years, money was tight with Ignatius Press had other projects going on, but we did a fundraiser, and Ignatius said, let's go for it. And so last year, we finished Abraham, and I have it on my website now. It's for pre-orders. We're going to be shipping them in a couple weeks, and pre-order, and you get a gift. And so anyway, it's Abraham, Father of Faith and Works. I love that title because I'm emphasizing both sides of the coin. You're not saved by faith alone. We're saved by faith and works. And Abraham, it's a very punchy movie, but it was filmed in Iraq, in Palestinian areas, Turkey, and Israel, all on location. I get bit by camels, all kinds of fun stuff. But it's in our series. It's the number 8 in our series. We finally got it done, and they can go to my website and pre-order it today.
Now, did you get bit by the camel on purpose? That's the question.
No. I was trying to get him to drink water. You know how they say you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink?
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you something. You cannot lead a camel to water, and you can't make him drink. If he doesn't want to go to the water, he starts biting you, and he bit me 5 or 6 good ones.
Well, very nice. All right.
But I taught him a lesson in the end, and then he was very compliant.
Well, speaking of lessons, let's turn to the raising of not camels, but sons. How would you articulate the biggest problem in America today?
I think the family is the biggest problem in America today. I think a family has disintegrated. I live outside of Detroit, and here's a city where there's 75% of the boys don't live with their fathers. They don't have fathers, and 50% illiteracy. So when you look at Detroit, I think that you're kind of seeing a microcosm of what the rest of the country will be if we continue to allow the whole idea of family to disintegrate before our eyes. You know, I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist or doctor or anything. So what is my, why am I here talking about this? Well, I raised 4 kids. You know, a lot of the apologists and guys out there, my friends, they're still raising their kids. I'm one of the lucky guys. My kids are all graduated with high marks in university, and they're all married and happy, and I got 12 grandkids. And we're having the empty nest syndrome, which is quite nice, actually. Mm-hmm. And so we have successfully raised 4 kids who all love the Lord and are involved in the church. And so I thought we could do this show today and just share a little bit of the things that I learned, most of them the hard way, about raising sons and daughters, too. I had 3 daughters. But I think that in raising them, I had to confront the fact that we're living in a very secular culture today. The schools were telling kids that there is no God. We crawled up out of the muck somewhere, and that and a lot of the kids are graduating can't even read. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're facing a culture now where homosexuality is almost just standard fare in life. I mean, when I grew up, it wasn't like that. Abortion is just part of the culture now. There's a lot of things in our culture today that that are really working against mm-hmm. a good, solid, not just a Catholic family, but any kind of family. Parents right. are working two jobs. They don't have time with their kids. The kids learn about sex from pornography on the internet. They, you know, it's crazy situation today. Mm-hmm. So we as parents have to really get involved if we're going to raise our kids right.
Some people say that the feminist movement of the 60s and 70s is good for boys because it shows the equality of women down at the elementary school level. Do you think that's true? And if not, why not?
Well, let's define feminism. If we're saying by that that women are important, that women have value, that they're equal to men in the sense of equal rights and equal dignity and equal pay or whatever for equal positions, then I'm all for feminism. But that's not what feminism turned out to be. Feminism actually has turned out to be a very anti-male idea. And what ends up happening is you see it in television, men, fathers, priests are all ridiculed. It's the woman, it's the child who stands up and tells the father what to do, to tell the priest. All of us look like idiots, fathers and men. We have been put in a place of ridicule, and I think it's happened even in the church. The church in many ways in our country has become feminized. Men have retreated from their responsibility, and praise God for women, because when the men retreat, women will always fill in the gap and take over the responsibilities. It happens all the time. But I think the feminist movement, the way that it has been presented, has emasculated men, has done great harm to the family, and I think it does great harm to children. Boys are boys and girls are girls, and they're not interchangeable. And we need to treat boys like boys, and we need to treat girls like girls, and we need to raise them in the dignity of the sexual position, way God made them, and make a boy proud to be a boy and understand what it means to be a man, and teach a girl what it means to be feminine and to be proud to be a girl. My girls love being girls. My son loves being a boy. I mean, this is the kind of thing we have. But it's going to have to happen in the family, because it's not going to happen anywhere else.
Nice time to insert a pause. We'll open the phone lines up and take calls from you, dear listener, whether or not you have sons. We're talking about raising sons in a increasingly confused culture as to what sex means, both, I mean that ambiguously, gender and also sexual relations. Maybe you have a question for Steve Ray about a particularly boy-related discipline problem. Maybe you have a question about spanking. We are not going to get into the spanking debate, but we will talk about discipline. This is one of those things where the church, as our mother, gives her children latitude about what the best way to discipline our kids is in light of the very, very different personalities that we have. So we were talking about family disintegration, the loss of the salient fathers in families, and raising sons with Steve Ray on Catholic Answers Live. Here's the number. It's toll-free, 888-318-7884, 1-888-318-7884. Raising Sons with Steve Ray on Catholic Answers Live. I'm Patrick Coffin. It's 10 after the hour. We'll be right back.
Did you know you can book any of our great speakers to speak at your parish or special event? Contact one of our seminar coordinators through the Speakers Bureau section on Catholic.com today to find out more information.
Howdy, this is Jimmy Akin. You know, the single greatest problem in apologetics is the problem of evil. Why does God allow sin? Why does He allow suffering? How can we help someone whose faith is being challenged by these? Right now, you can get a free MP3 download of a talk that I did on this subject. Just go to shop.catholic.com and sign up for the free Catholic Answers Insider newsletter. As a Catholic Answers Insider, you'll receive special discounts on the latest releases, special offers like free shipping for your online orders, free downloads, and exclusive interviews with some of the top Catholic apologists today. You'll get deals that aren't available anywhere else, starting with the free MP3 download of my talk on the problem of evil. but it's only available for a limited time. So go to shop.catholic.com today and sign up for the Catholic Answers Insiders Club. That's shop.catholic.com, and you want the Catholic Answers Insiders Club.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Mark 9:14, Jesus approached a crowd that was arguing with some of his disciples. Apparently, they had not been able to drive an evil spirit out of a young boy. Addressing Jesus, the boy's father said, "If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." "If you can, everything is possible to one who has faith," Jesus replied. The man responded, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." Has it ever occurred to you how pleasing to the Lord the man's answer was? It was so honest and so heartfelt. It was a parent's acknowledgement of concern and want. He wanted so much to help his son, and yet was so helpless to do so. His statement of faith couldn't have been more humble. And the Lord always, always responds to humility. He readily acquiesces to the parent child in us all. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, Raising Sons with Steve Ray of CatholicConvert.com. The number is 888-31-TRUTH, 1-888-318-7884. Steve, we always poo-poo the idea of rebels. We don't want our kids to grow up to be rebels. But in some sense, how can a healthy Catholic family understand the parents' role as raising rebels?
I have a talk called Raising Rebels, and my wife and I made up our mind from the very beginning, even as evangelical Protestants, before I was ever a Catholic, when we started raising our kids. My oldest daughter is now 38, and we made up our mind that we were going to raise rebels, and they knew that we were raising them to be rebels. We talked about it. We don't want you to be like everybody else. We want you to rebel against the culture of death, the culture of homosexuality, the culture of hedonism, the culture of relativism. I want you guys to be different. I want you to think of yourself as being contrary to the culture. You can't just flow with the American culture anymore, I told them, because dead things float downstream. Living things swim upstream. A salmon cannot reproduce unless it's swimming upstream back to its birthplace. That's how it reproduces. If a salmon just goes with the flow, it's going to die and they'll never reproduce. I told my kids, you have to be rebels. I'm a rebel. I was a rebel. They watched me be a rebel. They loved watching Dad be a rebel. Mm-hmm. And I wanted them to be rebels, too, and to think differently. And I give you one quick example. My son practiced that when he was 16 years old. He bought his own car. He'd been saving for it since he was 8 years old. And he had five buddies, and we had just become Catholics, and they were very excited about being Catholics. And he had five buddies, and they pledged they were going to protect each other from getting into trouble sexually with girls. And my son and he built these big plywood racks for the top of his little SUV he bought, and he painted big pro-life signs on these things. And then he started driving for a whole Saturday. Him and his buddies went out driving the car all through Ann Arbor. Anybody who knows Ann Arbor, Michigan, knows it's a very liberal university town. And he said, they came back, they were so excited. They said, "Dad, we drove around all day, and people were cursing at us and flipping us the bird, and we rolled down the window and said, 'God loves you too, and save the babies.'" And he said, "We had more fun, Dad, than we ever could have imagined." And I said, "Jess, you had fun being a rebel, didn't you? You're rebelling against the culture. You're making a statement for life. You're making a statement for Jesus Christ." And he said, one time he said to me, "Dad, I think I'm going to get an earring." I said, "Listen, son, that's not something that's going to happen here." I said, "Why do you want an earring?" He said, "To be different. You know, I want to." I said, "Jesse, everybody's getting earrings. That doesn't make you different. If you want to be different, be an authentic Catholic." And my son took me up on it.
Makes sense. It's like, I want to get a tattoo. Really, really edgy. All right, let's go to calls. I knew that a lot of folks would want to connect with you, Steve. I'll give the number out one more time. 888-31-TRUTH. Raising Sons. That's what we're talking about with Steve Ray, author and convert. CatholicConvert.com is his website. It's 16 after the hour. Let's go now to Chapin, South Carolina on Sirius 130. It's Deacon Greg. Hello, Deacon.
Hello. How are you?
Great.
I know you, don't I, Deacon?
Yes, you do, Steve. How are you?
I thought so. I thought you were the one.
Oh, yeah. Who else would it be, right?
Yeah. Good talking to you.
Oh, good to talk to you again. Listen, I have a challenge with my youngest son. He will defend the faith to the death, but he won't go to Mass. And I mean, there's only so much you can do when they're 25. So,
oh, you got 25. Okay,
suggestions
to the
death. It makes
death.
A difference
wow.
whether he's 10 or 25, doesn't it?
Yeah, it makes a big difference.
You have been knowing you. You've been a good example to him, both in the way you've lived your life and so on. I know that when kids are in their late teens and 20s, there's times where you have to give them a little breathing room. I know of a situation, one of my own kids, that decided at a certain point they weren't going to be Catholic anymore and go to Mass. And I just sat down and talked to him, and I said that this was very unacceptable for our family, but that I had raised them to think on their own, and I was going to give them some room to move. And that, you know, let them go kind of sow their wild oats a little bit and say, that I don't know what I'm going to believe or do. Matter of 4 years later, they came back. They're more on fire than anybody else. About Mass, sometimes to get to understand what's happening at Mass, and you said he's ready to defend the faith. That's good. Sometimes realizing what's actually going on at Mass is helps them make them want to be there, want them to, they want to be a part of it once they understand what's actually going on. Is he working on Sundays, or has he got a busy life that he just kind of feels that it's not as important as the other thing he's doing, or is he just kind of rebelling against going?
Well, he's got this interesting rationale that since he doesn't want to go to confession,
bingo.
He doesn't want to go to confession, and he doesn't
there
want to go to
Mass. There might be some sin that's going on there that he doesn't want to deal with, and you got to give him credit, though. It's better to not go than to go in and be taking part of Mass and the Eucharist and everything without dealing with a sin in your life. So, I mean, to some degree, if that's his cause, that's the reason. Maybe he's being honest, and he's just saying, I'm not ready to deal with this sin yet. I'm really not ready to take responsibility for the sin in my life and to go and confess it and stop it and whatever and get back into the church. I'll do it next year or something. People think that way sometimes, but you know, I can understand that. I hate confession. There's nothing in the world I hate more than confession, and if somebody else hates it, I can certainly relate to them. But you know, who wants to go in and confess their sins and tell the priest all these stupid evil things you've thought and done? I mean, who wants to do? I hate doing that. I even sometimes take a thesaurus in with me so I can think of words to use that make it sound like it's not as bad as it really is, you know. But I understand that. I don't know how much you have the freedom to talk to him about it and say, son, you know, I know that you don't want to go to confession. Is there anything we can talk about? Is there anything that I can help you with? Sometimes dads and sons can do that. Sometimes they can't. But that right. sounds like maybe that's the reason that he's not going.
It's not going to work at the level of logic because if he's as smart as he sounds, Deacon Greg, this is not something that's coherent. You know, I'm going to defend the club with my life, but I'm not going to go to the meetings of the club. It does sound like deeper issues at play there. Thanks for the call, Deacon Greg.
Could be that.
Raising Sons with Steve Ray. That's the topic. The phone number is 888-31-TRUTH, 1-888-318-7884. Let's go to Hiram in Houston, Texas on 1430. Hello, Hiram.
Hi, how y'all doing?
Great. What's your question, sir?
Well, my question is I'm married, but I don't have any kids yet. Mm-hmm. But recently I was watching the Disney shows with my nephews and nieces. And
Hiram, which Disney shows?
I don't even remember the names of them, to be honest. But the thing that I saw was a lot of the kids on the show, especially the boys, they were feminine. And, you know, I kind of talked about it with my family, and I thought, you know, because I saw my nephews imitating. And, I thought, hey, you know, aren't you guys kind of worried? You know, like, seems kind of, you know, feminine, you know, or I don't know. Anyways, the topic of... you know, you know, those boys, I'm sure they're probably born that way and everything else. And then it led into, you know, like people that are gay, they're born that way. And
okay, Hiram, I think like that's the heart of it, right? Steve, how do you deal with people who use that argument, born that way?
Well, I would, first of all, let me just comment on this, too. I'm real careful. We didn't have television for that very reason in our family. When I raised my kids, we didn't watch television. I didn't have a television when I grew up. My father read books to me, and all the other kids watched TV at night. My dad read books to me. There's nothing I love more and thank my dad more for than the fact that we didn't grow up with a television. We grew up with books. And our kids are that way now. I love it that my grandkids don't have television. They're growing up with books. So I would first of all say that we have to be very careful what our kids are watching. We have to, and if they are going to see things like that, we need to teach them to argue with it and say, you know, that's not right. There's something wrong there. Now, to the point of the homosexual thing, how do you talk to kids about that? I think it is a very wrong attitude that says that we are born that way. I don't think that science proves that yet. I'm not an expert, like I said, or a doctor or a psychologist, but I don't think that that's the case. And I have not seen any evidence for that being the case, that they've marked a gene or something that says you can predict that this boy's going to be homosexual or this girl because of this genetic code that they have. Now, let me go on to say this. There are some people who are born with a propensity for alcoholism. There are some people who are born with a propensity to anger. It doesn't mean that we accept it. Just because we are born with an inclination to something doesn't mean that we accept it as appropriate behavior. If someone has a propensity or an inclination to alcoholism, and we know that runs in families because a lot of times it's the father and all the sons and it's a family trait, that doesn't mean that we say, oh, you know what, I was born an alcoholic, so I should go ahead and drink. That's not the rationale we use. We say, if I have a propensity to alcohol, I have to be very careful how I live my life and the choices that I make. If someone says, I was from the youngest age, I had this inclination for same-sex attraction, it doesn't mean that you just go ahead and do it. It means that you find out how you should conduct your life. What does God say is moral and immoral? What kind of conduct should we live? And then we live that life. And if a boy has those inclinations, it means that we maybe need to get counseling. We maybe need to work with him some more. But it doesn't just mean that you just go ahead and live that way any more than if you have any inclinations towards other things.
Yeah. Tons of more information at couragerc.net,
yep.
the website of Courage. I'd also recommend anyone interested in the phenomenon of same-sex attraction to watch the documentary called Desire of the Everlasting Hills. You can watch it for free and share it across your friends. Yeah. EverlastingHills.org.
I saw that last week.
Mm-hmm. What'd you think,
Steve?
You know,
I put a blog up about it because I was so impressed with the way they did it and how they worked through the issues of homosexuality. Mm-hmm. One woman and two men. And I thought it was brilliant.
It's
Desire of the Everlasting Hills. People should watch it.
Yeah. EverlastingHills.org is the website. Hiram, thanks for the call. 24 after the hour. We have Adriana now in Oklahoma City on Catholic Answers Live. Hi, Adriana.
Hi. My question is in regards to age difference with little ones. I have a 5-year-old who absolutely loves hanging around with 10-year-old, 12-year-old cousins.
It's a boy?
It's a boy. Uh-huh.
Okay, so your 5-year-old's hanging out with 10 to 12-year-old cousins. Steve, good idea?
Well, right.
Well, yeah, I, you know, we're family, and one of the things that I found is that a lot of times when kids go through regular public schools, they don't know how to relate to younger people or older people. They kind of get into this corral mentality at times, and we have to help them out of that. But where they can only relate to kids that are their age, and you put them with an adult, and they just freeze, or a young kid, they just pull their hands and don't know what to do. I was raised with cousins. I thought it was great. I had older cousins and older friends. The whole issue for me is not whether they love to play with their older brothers. I mean, you have older brothers and sisters sometimes too. You know, it's like, should they play with their older brother? Of course they should. Should they play with their older cousins? I think so. The issue comes in what kind of an influence do these cousins have? If your son is 5 or 6 and these cousins are sneaking out behind the barn and looking at pornography and smoking cigarettes to test it out, then I'd say, no, you don't want your young son playing with those cousins. But if the cousins are good guys who love sports maybe and they love the Lord and they're a good influence on the 5-year-old, then it's a great thing. So it's not the age difference. It's the influence difference, I think, that matters.
Of course. The days of magazines are almost long gone. Now we're talking about one click away from the most foul, illegal, bestial behavior imaginable.
Yep.
Adriana, do you know the 10 to 12-year-old cousins very, very well?
Yes. Part of it is we're homeschooling our 5-year-old, and mm-hmm. cousins are public school, and they're really good kids, but they do have a different outlook on a lot of things.
Like, give one example, Adriana, that might be troubling to you.
For example, the shows, the TV shows that they watch that my kids are not allowed to watch.
Sure. I'm not sure if you've heard Jason Everett on the show or Matthew Fradd, Adriana, but the average age of exposure to hardcore pornography in this country is 11. Now, many good families say that doesn't apply to them, and very frequently they're right, but they're often not right. So Steve, it's hard to err on the side of being overcautious when it comes to the souls of our kids. We'll talk about that and much more besides with Steve Ray on Raising Sons on Catholic Answers Live. 888-31-TRUTH.
Released in the spring of 2014, The Protestant's Dilemma has taken the Catholic book world by storm, bringing hundreds of readers into the church. And with over 10,000 copies sold, it's still going strong. By taking a whole new approach to the way we look at the differences between the Catholic Church and Protestant beliefs, Devin Rose has opened the eyes of many Protestant brothers and sisters and made them take seriously the claims of the Catholic Church. The Protestant's Dilemma examines over 30 Protestant beliefs, showing with solid evidence, compelling reason, and gentle humor, how the major tenets of Protestantism, if honestly pursued to their furthest extent, just don't make sense. The Protestant's Dilemma is the perfect book to give non-Catholics trying to work through their own nagging doubts, or for Catholics looking for a fresh way to deepen their understanding of the faith. Order your copy today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or by visiting Catholic.com. Also available as an ebook.
Tim Staples' new book, Behold Your Mother, A Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines, is, to put it simply, a must-read. You won't find a more complete apologetic work defending the six most important Marian doctrines. And Tim Staples is the expert on this subject, so if there's one book, you need the book that he wrote. And there's truly something in this book for everyone, whether you're a non-Catholic, a Catholic who's beginning to learn to defend their faith, or even a seasoned apologist like me. You're going to learn some things in this book you did not know before. And you're going to be challenged to spiritually grow in devotion to Our Lady, who, as Tim says, always leads us to our Lord. So pick up a copy of Behold Your Mother by Tim Staples today, available from Catholic Answers Press at shop.catholic.com. That's shop.catholic.com.
Welcome back to the show. How to Build a Boy, Raising Sons as Followers of Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's the topic with Steve Ray of CatholicConvert.com. My name is Patrick Coffin. It's 29 after the hour. 1-888-31-TRUTH. Let's go to Las Cruces, possibly.
My wife was born in Las Cruces, New Mexico. That's where my wife was born.
Hey, Brian. Well, you're on the show.
Oh, hey. How's it going?
Great.
Hello, Brian.
Brian, what's your question for Steve?
I guess I just wanted to know, what would you tell young children in particular, you know, children, I guess, 10 and under, what would you tell them as to why to go to church?
Because that's what we as a family do. when they're, you know, a certain age, it's just, this is what we do. We brush your teeth because it's the right thing to do. We take a bath every couple of days because it's the right thing to do. And mom and dad say we're going to church because it's the right thing to do. I remember when I was growing up, we were Baptists, of course, and we went to Baptist and Methodist and all the different churches. But I never even thought of not going. I mean, that was something that we did, and it was very special to mom and dad. Mom and dad loved going to church, and I could see it that they loved going to church. It was a big deal for them, and I had tremendous respect for church because of that, because I saw my mom and dad loved it. And we went there, and my dad would sit next to me, and he would tickle my ear, and he'd run his fingers through my hair, and he'd pinch me and, you know, put his arm around me. And so for me, it was something I looked forward to as a little boy, because it was a time where dad and mom showed great affection for us and great touching and being there with us and singing and helping us read the words. It was a fun time for us. As I got older, though, going to church, and I'm 14, 15 years old, then I started to rebel, and then it was a whole different matter. But when you have young boys, we're going to church because that's what our family does. And then if you can go into more, Jesus meets us here, and we learn about Jesus, and God is our Savior, and He created us, and we come to worship Him, and we sing His praises, and this helps us be better people. You know, you can explain all of those. But I think up until 10 or 12 years old, my kids went to church because I told them they were going to church.
Chris Stefanik wrote a book for you, Brian. It's called Do I Have to Go? And it's
okay. Well, that's all very good. But have you heard any of the, I guess you could say, leading social theories on you are a product of your environment, i.e., if you were born a Cherokee Indian, okay, and you were raised a Cherokee Indian, your belief system would be such of a Cherokee Indian. So did you come to the conclusion that all of this was real and true through just your parents telling you to go?
No, not at 10 years old. You work with, now that this is a different question you're asking now, I think, because as I was raising with my kids, I was an apologist even as a Protestant. I loved to defend the faith, and my kids loved going to church with us because it was always, we made it an exciting time, a time that we as a family do this together. But when we would, somebody, a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon or an atheist would come over to our house and we used to invite them over, my kids would sit on the floor in the corners and listen to me debate and argue with these people. They loved it. They would quit anything they're doing and come in and listen to us talking to a Jehovah's Witness because the kids loved the argument of it and they loved seeing Dad confronting and dealing with us. So then as my kids got older, they knew it was true because they saw it in action with atheists, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons. And even if you don't have those kind of people coming into your house, you can still discuss those things. You can get a book by Jehovah's Witnesses and begin to read it and argue with it with your kids. I always wanted my kids to be thinking.
Right.
There was a time, I will tell you, that when I was growing up, my mom would, and I think she did wrong in this because she didn't know any better. She said, you just have faith. You don't ever ask questions. You just have faith. The Beatles came out, and I bought Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, and my mom said, I couldn't listen to it. And I said, why? She said, because it's from the devil. I said, how do you know it's from the devil? And I got very rebellious at that time. When I got to 18, 19, 20, then I started reading philosophy. And I said, you know what? There's a lot of religions out there. If I'm going to be a Christian like my family raised me, I have to know it's true. Because if it's not true, I'm not going to be a Christian. And
right.
I spent a lot of my years from 17 years till 21, 22, researching these things until I was convinced it was. But you... children will love what their parents love, usually.
Yeah,
If you love the faith and you go to Mass and you are just a good time and on the way back, if you say, oh, that priest was going on and on and on and the guy behind me had bad breath and, oh, man, that was terrible hymns they sang, then the kid's going to grow up not... But if you go to Mass and you say, what a wonderful time. I really experienced the Lord there. I talk about how you loved it and you include your kids in this whole family thing. I think it has a big impression on them.
So even if, Steve, you were raised in India, chances are you'd begin life as a Hindu. If you lived in Mesopotamia or Sumeria or, you know, Confucius Chinese era during the Ming Dynasty, that really is not relevant to whether or not Jesus Christ is God and founded a church, right?
Right. But at the same time, I wanted to raise my kids to be thinking. I didn't try to force them into a mold. I wanted them more than anything else to be rational thinking people because I'm convinced Christianity is true. And if you think about it, you'll stay that, right?
Right.
Now, my kids have. And I'll tell you, not more than one of them went off into philosophy and trying to prove it was wrong, even with me at times. But they came right back around and says, you know what? It is true. Dad, we're convinced of it.
Yeah. Another recommendation of Chris Stefanik. And Matt Pinto's book, it's called Do I Have to Go? 101 Questions About the Mass, the Eucharist, and Your Spiritual Life. Very cogent,
good idea.
Simple
Very
arguments
good suggestion.
From those guys. Thank you, Brian, in Las Cruces. Let's go to George in New Orleans, Louisiana. Hey, George.
Hey, how's it going?
Great.
My question is, I have a 9-year-old son. I have 4 children, but my oldest son is 9, so he's at the point he's made his first communion. And my question is... we go to Mass as a family every week, but he doesn't generally participate in the responses and in the singing. And I know he's 9, and I know that that's not necessarily going to be the most exciting hour out of his week, but what suggestions do you have for me to maybe get him a little more engaged in participating?
I try to put myself back in the day I was 9 years old. I don't think there's a lot you could have done to get me participating because my mind was elsewhere because I was 9 years old and I had no idea a lot of time what was going on. I knew it was right to be there and I knew I should be there. My kids, when they were young, we brought books for them to look at. You know, they're usually Bible books and good stories, picture books of Jesus and the miracles or whatever. When they got to a certain point, I said, you know, I would really like you guys to participate and join with us in this. You can even, I don't say we should bribe our kids, but say, you know, I always believed in punishments and rewards. And if my kids got screaming or not paying attention to the point of distracting other people, we'd go outside and there would be a problem. And they wouldn't do it again, let me put it that way. They would realize, you know what, I better be good in mass because I'm not going to go back out with Dad again, have that happen. But I think also that you can say, you know, I'm going to watch you guys here today at mass. Your mom and I are going to be singing and joining in. We'd like you to join with us. And guess what? If we find that you guys really cooperate with us, we're going to do something nice for you. If you do this for us and join in with us, we're going to stop on the way home and we're going to get a Dairy Queen or we'll do something else fun. I'd also make it, I see parents sometimes at mass and I want to go up and say, what are you doing? You ignored your kid through the whole mass. That little guy was sitting there. He looked up at you 25 times trying to get your attention, trying to relate to you, and you just totally ignored him. What is wrong with you? That little guy wants, if you just would pay attention to him, if you'd put your arm around him, if you'd kiss him on the top of the head once in a while, he would love to do what you're doing, but you ignored him through the whole thing. And I think at times if we have our kids there, put them up on our lap, we get so busy, we're so being pious, praying, and we just forget the fact that this little guy right here is the most important thing in the world right now. And this little guy and this little girl, they would love nothing more than to do what kids want to make their parents happy usually. And usually when they're bad, it's because they're reacting to something. But I think that kids want to make their parents happy. And if we include them in the worship, put them on our lap, tickle their ear like my dad used to do. I remember that. I couldn't wait to get to church because I loved sitting next to my dad. And my dad sang the hymns with such gusto and so loud that I loved it and I wanted to sing them too. So I think that we can have a little bit of that enthusiasm, excitement. Maybe our kids will come along with us. Don't expect too much from 8 and 9-year-olds though in a mass. Don't expect too much from them. Their mentality's not there yet. And maybe do a little reward thing afterwards, where any time on Sunday that you guys really pay attention with us and you join in with us and so on, while I'm tickling your ear over here, you know, or patting you on the shoulder here, we'll stop and get a Dairy Queen on the way home.
Right.
I think that we can interact with our kids and not just ignore them or expect things that that aren't, you know, make them part of the whole thing.
George in New Orleans, thanks for the call. 38 after the hour, time for an early pause. We want to have a longer final segment in the show with Steve Ray on Raising Sons on Catholic Answers Live. 888-31-TRUTH is the number. Bobby in Columbus, Ohio, you'll be up next after these words. Don't go away.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Howdy, this is Jimmy Akin. I wanted to let you know that if you sign up during the month of February for this summer's Catholic Answers Cruise to Alaska, you can save $100 per person. Now, this is a limited time offer that's only available for people who sign up in February, so sign up now while it's still available. To get this special savings, use the promo code CRUISE on your application. For more information, visit CatholicAnswersCruise.com or call our agent, the Cruise Authority, at 800-707-1634. Once again, use the promo code CRUISE on your application to get the $100 savings per person. Go to CatholicAnswersCruise.com or call the Cruise Authority at 800-707-1634.
With over 5 million copies in print, Pillar of Fire, Pillar of Truth is a one-of-a-kind resource. A powerful yet concise booklet that clearly defines the core beliefs of the Catholic faith. And everything is cross-referenced to the Catechism of the Catholic Church and supported by sacred scripture. Packed with information about the Catholic Church and God's plan for us, Pillar of Fire's convenient size and special pricing make it perfect to carry with you and give to others as you share your faith with them. We've got bulk rates to make evangelizing affordable, and it's also available in Spanish or as an ebook. Call 1-888-291-8000 or log on to Catholic.com and order your supply now and start spreading the good news.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Raising Sons. Slightly different enterprise from raising daughters, as we're discovering with Steve Ray, our guest on Catholic Answers Live. Bobby in Columbus, Ohio, you are up next. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Dr. Ray. I'll get right to it. I've got a couple of twins, juniors in high school. They participate in, you know, the Catholic youth summer camps and the, you know, the various different things, the fish fries and so forth. They're, they seem to be, very devout Catholics. I ask them what they want to do with the rest of their lives. They're thinking about going to college and so forth. And the answers I'm getting is that they want to help people. Huh. And so, yeah, and I'm not sure if he's just, they're discerning any holy orders. I don't think that, when I ask him about it, and I brought that to their attention a few times. Hey, have you ever thought about being a priest? Have you ever thought about being a nun? And no, Dad, that's not for me. But I want to help people, so I'm trying to maybe figure out the best way. Maybe give me some advice on it that might, have a different angle to that. And if not that, then what could I maybe advise them to do in order to, help other people?
How old are they?
They're juniors in high school, so they'll be 17 here in a month.
Okay, good. 17 is when I had my awakening. That's when I realized Jesus was really there. And I remember walking down the road. It was 17. All of a sudden, it seemed like my brain turned on. And I said, Jesus, I'm going to give my rest of my life to you. That age is a very wonderful age. It's a very impressionable age. You're very wise to talk to your kids about that at this time. About being a priest, I think it's wonderful that you're presenting that to them. Many parents are very selfish about the attitude and say, I don't want my kids to be a priest. I want grandchildren. I want a normal kid. And they kind of direct them away from that. I think it's wonderful that you bring it up and bring that to their attention. There's a lot of different, even if they get married and have a vocation towards marriage or something else, they can get into careers where they help people by being doctors and nurses and those kind of things. But I think you're doing a good job. I think maybe give them books on saints to read. Read books. Even when my kids are older, I still read out loud to them. Kids love it, reading out loud. Read books on saints and people who helped people, many of the great saints' stories of how they decided to become priests or nuns and so on. And just continue to talk to them. I think the very fact that you talk to your kids about these things is the number one thing, that you have open dialogue and communication and they let you know what they'd like to do when you're asking them. Because if a boy doesn't have a father to do that, then he doesn't have kind of the stimulation to think about it and work through those issues. I think it's great that you're doing that.
Bobby, thanks for the call. 44 after the hour. Let's move now to Juan in New Orleans, Louisiana. Hola, Juan.
Hello.
Hola.
What's your question? Hello? Juan, what's your question for Steve Ray? Could you turn your radio down, please?
Hello?
Juan, what's your question for Steve Ray?
Okay. I moved out from the Northeast to Louisiana because of work. My son is 8 years old, and I'm very proud of him at all levels. And my question is, what type of problems I may face in the future because of this. I'm thinking on visiting him maybe every 6 to 8 weeks. Once again, I am not divorcing my wife or anything. It's just because of work I moved to the South.
Juan, it's Patrick, Juan, just to understand the timeline here. When did you move to New Orleans from your wife and kids, your wife and son?
A week ago.
And you'll be there in the South for how long?
It's an appointment between 1 year or 2 years.
Wow, Steve.
And you do get to go home sometimes?
Yes, sure. But it's going to be every 6 to 8 weeks. I'm thinking on going and visiting them.
Is your wife a good mother?
Yes, she is. Absolutely.
Does she work?
Yes, she works very hard.
I will just tell you that it's going to be difficult because children need a mom and a dad. And if dad is away from home and mom is working, that's going to be very difficult on your kids. I'm not going to mollycoddle and try and make someone feel good when the situation is not the ideal situation. I'm not saying that it can't be done if your wife is with the kids at home when they're out of school and so on there, but a child gets to feel like, where's dad? I'm being abandoned. And I know that we have to work, and maybe you've got a career that forces you to go do this. But, I'm going to tell you, it's not the best thing for your kids. And it's going to make life difficult, especially as they get older.
It's a long time.
It's a long time,
with
being away from home. I have to be honest with you. I wouldn't do it. I would look for another job. I'm just being flat out honest with you. I don't know what your career is or why you have this job or, you know, what the significance of it is, but I don't think there's a job that could have taken me away from my kids.
Hope that's a help, Juan. I know it's a challenge to find work. If there's any way you can maybe visit
I agree. I know that sometimes you take less pay to be with your kids. It's just a hard situation, I think, at times. And I don't mean to be cruel here or not understanding, because I don't know the whole story. I don't know all the things you're involved in. But I think the very fact that you're asking the question shows that you know that it's going to be a problem. There's something that could be done better. So the very fact that you asked the question, I'm going to be honest with my answer.
It's not a year you can ever get back either.
Right.
Juan,
and
thank you for the
call.
And
God bless you and your family. I hope that he guides you in the right direction.
From Juan, we go to Lauren in Vashon, Washington. Hello, Lauren.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I've got three sons, and they're all young. They're 6, 4, and 2. And by the grace of God, I just had a daughter.
Congratulations.
Thank you. My middle child, he's 4, he, just in the last, for 2 years, he's shown interest in our priest and in a potential calling. He's so young, I can't make a real judgment call. But if he is perhaps called to in some sort of religious life, what are some things that I can prepare him now while he's still young? Any resources or books?
I think it's great that you're interested in this. I just think it's marvelous to have two calls in a night like this where parents are encouraging their sons or daughters in this direction. 4 years old is very young. You know, next year he may decide he wants to be a fireman. I know how this goes, because as my kids grow up, you know, every year or two, I'm going to be a fireman. I'm going to be a something else. I have a 12-year-old grandson that just announced to me the other day, my oldest grandson, that he thinks he wants to be a priest. He says, Grandpa, I want to be a priest, and I want to do that. I know that we had some of our grandkids living here. I'll tell you what's a nice thing you can do. I bought them a mass kit. I set up a little corner of the house. And we got a little altar for him, and we put a white tablecloth. And I went to the gift shop, the Catholic book and gift shop, and I bought him a mass kit. So he had his own little pretend candles and his own chalice, and he practiced mass. And he even got to the point where he had all these lines memorized. And they all have had good relationship with the priests. Another thing that you can do is invite the priest over, have him be part of the family every once in a while. I wanted my kids to be very comfortable with the priest. They came over and had dinner, laid on the couch, you know, got things out of the icebox, and my kids got to be very comfortable around the priest, and that was a good thing. So I would think also that along with that is as the boy gets a little older, maybe get him involved in serving at the parish, being a server on Sunday mornings or on the weekday masses. And then he get a real feel for it, being up there with his robe on and being an acolyte or a young server and being up in front of all the people. He get a feel for it.
A lot of priests will say, Steve, that their vocation began as a seed when they were very young,
right,
like under the age of 7.
Exactly. Lauren? And I do that because when we take our groups on pilgrimages, all these different, go to the Holy Land and things, we always ask the priest to tell their story. And half of the time, the priest that I knew from my earliest memories that I wanted to be a priest. So that 4-year-old boy could very well already be getting a call from God and get him involved, have the priests over for dinner, get him comfortable with them here, and get him involved in the church as much as you can, and get him good stories. Read stories about young boys who became priests. You know, there's a wealth of books and things now, movies even, about these young men who became priests, and have him watch those, and great influence. Even if he doesn't become a priest, it's still a great sanctifying experience for him.
Lauren, thanks for the call. Let's go to Manuel and Reedley, California. Hello, Manuel.
Hello. My question results in, actually, I'm the 5th child out of 7, and pretty much I have 4 other brothers and 2 older sisters, and my question is, they're very distant from the faith, not so much my sisters, but my brothers, and I just want to know what's something that I could do in order to kind of engage them a little more in the Catholic faith.
Do you live with them?
I live with 3 of them.
Okay. It's difficult when your father has died. That's a difficulty, and I think it's marvelous that you have seen the responsibility of an older brother. I highly commend you for that. If you were here, I'd give you a hug and pat you on the back, because for an older brother, you could go out and just be selfish and live your own life, but here you are concerned about your younger brothers, and God will bless you for that. And I would say, Lord, what can I do? And one of the things I would say is be a good example yourself of your own love for the Lord, your love for going to church, that you just, they catch you praying and reading the Bible, and you talk to them about these things. I would keep them away from bad influences as much as you can. Make sure they're not watching pornography. They're not doing things they shouldn't be doing. Keep them, you know, and I know they're going to say, you're not our dad, but still as an older brother, using your influence as much as you can to make sure they're doing good things and not doing bad things. Maybe if you can take them out once a week to play sports with them or do something so that they love you and respect you, and take them to Mass and say, you know what, we'll go to Mass, and after that I'll take you out and get you an ice cream or something. I'm not beyond bribing kids. You know, kids are kids.
Preach it, brother. Manuel, yeah. Thanks for the call. Let's go
good
to,
talking to you, Manuel.
Yeah, Robert Mary in Rochester, New York. You're up next on Catholic Answers Live. What's your question, Robert Mary?
Hi. I'm calling in. I heard a couple of answers given. I'm just wondering about one call where a youngster asked the father, why do we have to go to Mass? And another one where there's a confession problem and the son is not going to Mass.
Robert Mary, I have to ask you to get to the question because your sound signal is terrible.
What I did not hear, but is it still pertinent to bring into that context the very simple commandment, third commandment, thou shalt keep holy the Lord's day, and under pain of mortal sin for Catholics? Would you still give them that answer?
Yes, I do. I absolutely, and thanks for bringing that up. That was a deficiency in my answer. You know, when we're on the radio, we're pushed for time, and I'm trying to be practical and give people practical answers. But that is a very good observation that you made. And I also did, I didn't just do that. We also implemented all the other things. But yes, the Ten Commandments are there, and we'll be judged by how we obey those commandments. And the one is, you know, like you just said, that this Sabbath day is the Lord, and Sunday is the day that is God's day, and we're going to obey him and do what he said. So thank you for bringing that up. You're absolutely correct.
Of course, you might be dealing with, let's say it's 17 to 22-year-old who's read a little bit of Nietzsche and a little bit of modern philosophy, and they might think, well, if there was a Ten Commandment, then maybe God himself doesn't exist. So that won't work.
I'm thinking in that context of the younger kids, you know, if you instill that in them, they're young, then they tend to have that still ingrained in their system. But you're right. A lot of people think the Ten Commandments are just the 10 suggestions today.
Yeah. Thanks, Robert Mary. Debbie, last caller. If you can get to it swiftly, we can help you out. Go ahead, Debbie.
Yes. I was calling to find out what age should you start taking children to church? I grew up Baptist and we always took children the church, but I know in going to Mass with little ones, you know, they cry. They're
Debbie, you've asked the right guy. Steve, should we ban children to Planet Zircon until the age of 20?
Well, you know, Protestant churches have a solution for that. They just don't let the kids come into church. They take them off to children's church where they play for an hour. And I know that was the case, but I never took my children to children's church. Even as a Protestant, I wanted them to sit with me. This was a family thing. My dad did the same with me. He didn't send me away. He brought me in and said, I'm going to be with my son during church. I believe that we should bring our sons and daughters into the church. There's things that we can do practically, keep them busy when they're young, bring some Cheerios, you know, when they're 2-3 years old, pay attention to them. Don't just leave them sitting there. And I tell you what I did when my son or daughter would cry, I would just put their face up into my chest and so that it would muffle the cry. And then I'd comfort them. Sometimes I'd have to get up and take them out. You know, but when the kid was older, if he didn't behave in Mass, there was problems. We went out the back and he didn't do it again.
Debbie, thanks for the call. It reminds me of the quote from Father Ed Friede, who said that his church was a crying room with a tabernacle inside it.
That's right.
All right.
And
Steve,
they have
Ray?
23 men in the seminary.
Right, that's a good problem to have. Steve Ray, thanks for joining us, sir. Always a pleasure.
Good time.
All right, coming up next, Scott Richard, preparing for Lent. Are you ready for Lent? You got 2 days to prep. Scott Richard has some great advice, and it's coming up shortly after these words on hour number 2 of Catholic Answers Live. Be right back.